Hi, diddly doodly do! It's time for another superhero deep dive from me to you. Welcome everyone to a new episode. As always, I am your host Jason, and I have a really, really interesting deep dive to get into today. Let me get my disclaimers out of the way, but quick fun fact, Iron Man was actually developed by Stan Lee as a contest to produce a hero that no one should like and force people to like him. So what do you think about that? That's pretty cool. All right, but this information is pulled from different sources across the internet and may or may not be completely complete, but they do give a really good insight on the current superhero. I always have to put that in case there are storylines that I may choose to exclude because I don't feel like they're pertinent to the character, but you may feel like it. There may be current storylines, there may be things that I just missed that you knew, which I always encourage you to respond with. You can catch me every Tuesday and Thursday online at Outworld Fleet Radio throughout the day. Their website is outworldfleetradio.online. You can catch me on Twitter and Instagram under Super Deep Dive. You can email me directly at b4itall@yahoo.com. You can catch Superhero Memes Daily on YouTube and TikTok. My TikTok is Superhero Deep Dive. YouTube is also Superhero Deep Dive. I post videos like 5 times a week. I post superhero memes daily, so check those out. Please like, subscribe, comment. If you have fun facts I may have missed, if you have things that you felt was important or ideas for a character, let's have a discussion about it. I am 100% behind it. If there are critiques or if there's requests for future videos, let me know. Once again, I am 100% about it. But this week, I am going to cover the old DC hero. Like, this one is like long ago, named Dolphin. She's basically an undersea person, right? One of your generic undersea heroes. Or are they? So, Dolphin was a very young girl when she fell overboard from a cruise ship. Now, this is all the way back in Secret Origins number 50, only to be saved from drowning when a mysterious alien race abducted her to use as an experimental prototype for a subaquatic humanoid race. In the course of these experiments, she acquired various biophysical adaptations similar to ocean-themed fauna forms or mariner races. So I want to see something real quick. I meant to do this and I forgot. Secret Origins number 50. Okay. Let's see here. Secret Origins number 50. Well, this one is, I guess, volume 2. Let's see here. I'm not sure when that came out. I'm not sure when it came out, but it looks like maybe 1990. That doesn't seem right to me, but I guess that's what it is. Yeah, 1990. I thought Dolphin was much older than that. Like, I thought Dolphin was one in the, like, 40s or 50s, so I stand corrected. I'm sorry. But anyways, let's get back to her. So she was abducted, and she's been having all these experimental things done to her. Now, when the alien scientists abandoned the experiment, Dolphin escaped their underwater lab. Oblivious to her former humanity, the feral young dolphin scavenged underwater for her livelihood, eventually finding her trademark blue jean shorts and white shirt inside a sunken ship. She has been alone her entire life, constantly swimming and enjoying her personal freedom. As she grew into young womanhood, she became tired of living an isolated, lonely life. So one day, the crew of an oceanology vessel saved her from a near-lethal encounter with the dolphin-killing shark and took her aboard their ship to help her. Now, over time, the crew of the ship tried to educate and care for the girl they dubbed Dolphin, but her utter lack of contact with either humans or Atlanteans had left her mute. Though she grew to understand spoken language fairly quickly, the act of speech itself remained beyond her. Then, a young female doctor on the crew had the bright idea to instruct her in sign language, which is really cool, by the way. Finally able to communicate, Dolphin explained what she could of herself and her story, and expressed her desire to resume her undersea life. At some point, Dolphin finally mastered spoken language, especially when she started having contact with the superhero community, but never lost her shyness and reluctance to speak. She has since been a woman of very few words. Now, Dolphin has stayed mostly on the fringes of the superhero community, although she was a member of the Forgotten Heroes until their dissolution and fought alongside them during the Crisis on Infinite Earths. Okay, now this is back in the late 80s, early 90s version. Now, during the Zero Hour event, she met Aquaman and took part of the battle against Charybdis. 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 A villain interested in the aquatic powers of the two heroes. When the villain, after robbing Aquaman of his telepathic powers, stuck Aquaman's hand in a pool of water teeming with piranhas, the normally pacifist Dolphin was forced to shoot the madman. She carried both the wounded Aquaman and Aqualad back to Atlantis for medical attention, saving their lives and earning their trust and love. Afterwards, she became a supporting character in the Aquaman comic book and soon won the affections of an Aquaman embittered by the loss of his hand. Now, this is back when he grew his hair long, he wore just long pants, and he had kind of like a gladiator shoulder pad and a hook for a hand. It was kind of a cool time with him, because that's the coolest he's looked. Now, over time, she came out of her shell and displayed a more energetic and bubbly, though naive, personality. Whew. Okay, so she's actually starting to get used to people more and more. In issue number 25 of Aquaman, volume 5, so this is, you know, probably mid-90s, late 90s, it was revealed that Corvax, an evil merman ancestor of Aquaman's, had secretly set Dolphin free from the lab and used mind control to prompt her to infiltrate the royal court and kill Aquaman as an agent of his revenge on the royal house of Atlantis. The strong-willed Dolphin broke free of his control, and her romantic involvement with Aquaman grew into love. Dolphin then remained Aquaman's lover until Mera, Aquaman's actual wife, returned from her exile in another dimension called the Netherworld. In the same period, Aqualad, now calling himself Tempest, which is a much better name, returned from several years of extra-dimensional magical studies with increased powers and confidence, winning Dolphin's heart with a kiss. That's some... Okay, whatever. I'm not judging. Though initially taken back, Aquaman blessed the relationship because, you know, he got his wife back, so he was done with Dolphin. Okay, quick. While we're here, who would you rather be in a relationship with, Mera or Dolphin? I don't know. Now, let's not say the movie version of Mera, just Mera from the comics. All right, so anyways. Eventually, Dolphin became pregnant by Tempest, and the two were married in an Atlantean ceremony attended by Tempest's second family, the Titans. Dolphin then gave birth to a son, whom Aquaman named Cerdian, after Cerdia, a surface nation annexed by Atlantis. The weight of new familial responsibilities initially strained the relationship between Dolphin and Tempest. These tensions came to a head when Dolphin demanded that Tempest choose between his duties as a hero and his duties as a father and husband. That's heavy. But you've got to take care of your family. There's a lot of superheroes. You've got to take care of your family. Tempest complied and quit the Titans. When Aquaman was exiled for his role in the sinking of Atlantis, the family fell under suspicion as friends of the deposed king. The new sorceress rulers deemed Dolphin and her family collaborators and put them under house arrest. This government is eventually overthrown, and Dolphin and her family have a brief moment of happiness in a free Atlantis. Now, when Tempest channels the magic of all of Atlantis' sorcerers to undo a spell that had turned Mera into an air breather, he is noticed by the Spectre, who unleashes his full power on Atlantis. The resulting cataclysmic destruction obliterates Atlantis entirely. Tempest is missing and presumed dead, but Dolphin, sent away during Atlantis' destruction, may have survived along with the young Sirtian. Further evidence of her survival is given by the ghost of Volko. I don't know who Volko is. Unfortunately, I was not too into the Aquaman comics back in the day, just because they were all kind of like, they almost seemed like isolated stories. There wasn't anything really epic to get into with them. And maybe I obviously missed stuff, but this is great learning. Alright, now, able to sense the passing of Atlanteans, he claimed never to have felt the passing of Garth, who was Tempest, Dolphin, and Sirtian. So the three are possibly alive. Even though Dolphin and Sirtian aren't necessarily Atlantean. Well, Sirtian might be, because Garth is, but Dolphin isn't really Atlantean. But anyways, however, despite having spent months researching his beloved ones, Garth eventually reveals that he had found the bodies of his wife and son, and reasons that Dolphin and Sirtian may have had died during the evacuation of Atlantis, buried in the rubble while searching for shelter. Slizath, his necromantic uncle, that's just weird. Like, who has a necromantic uncle anyway? Like, hey, this is Bob. Don't mind him. He's my necromantic uncle. Anyways, Slizath, confirms this version, hinting a possible return of Dolphin as a Black Lantern. So this leads into Blackest Night. Now, in Blackest Night number 2, Dolphin, Tula, and Aquaman are raised at Mercy Reef as Black Lanterns, tasked with killing Tempest and Mera. Tula and Dolphin contend for Tempest's affection and mercilessly taunt him for being unable to save either of them. At the conclusion of this conflict, Tempest is killed and subsequently raised as a Black Lantern. Dolphin appears to battle the Titans, and her body is destroyed by a burst of white light emanating from Dawn Granger, who would be the female version of Hawk from Hawk and Dove. Great set of heroes. I believe I did a deep dive on at least Hawk. No, I did one on Dove. Maybe I did it on both. I don't know. This is like episode number 134, so I'm sure they've been in there somewhere. But anyways, Dolphin has made her return when she joined Aquaman in defending sea-changed Atlanteans from persecution and harassment in the Aquaman Rebirth series. She's currently on the run with Aquaman as they hide from the underwater authorities. In the new series, Dolphin is a mutation which is contemptibly referred to as a taint blood in the various tribes of Atlantis, having triggered it while facing segregation from the Drift out of self-defense. She and a clutch of her ninth tried denizens were rescued by a ghost of the local whom was none other than she believed to be the deceased Arthur Curry. So, she's kind of on the run right now. Wow, what a history. Like, she was this obscure character, and she has been given so much, like, so much storyline wise. I'm not a big fan of her being passed around by Aquaman and Tempest, but, you know, sidekicks got a side, right? Okay. But what do you guys think? let me know. Like I said, you can email me directly at b4itall@yahoo.com. You can catch me on Twitter and Instagram under Super Deep Dive. DMs are always open, so, you know, that's fine. You can comment, like, subscribe, share, all that good stuff. Leave critiques, leave requests for future episodes on YouTube under Superhero Deep Dive. That's actually my preferred way to reach me. I get emails a lot, and that's fine. This one was actually a YouTube comment where they requested Dolphin, and I'm so glad they did. But yeah, like, what a great history. And you can catch me on TikTok as well, where I post superhero memes daily. And that's under Superhero Deep Dive as well. All right, but let's get into our powers. Now, pre-crisis Dolphin. Her anatomy had been tampered with by an unknown alien race at the biomolecular level, resulting in various oceanic adapted capabilities, such as gills, webbed fingers, webbed toes, shining white hair, superhuman physical conditioning, resilience to deep water pressures, and a slowed aging process. She is an adept yet untrained hand-to-hand combatant who is physiologically programmed with an aptitude for high-powered artillery. The biomolecular tampering and psychological programming resulted in Dolphin being strong, fast, and able enough to match Mera in a straightforward fist fight while underwater. During the Blackest Night run, she's been reanimated by the Black Lantern Ring, turning her into an all but unstoppable necrotized carcass with all of the conventional powers of a Lantern Corpsman, coupled with the vast self-regenerative capabilities. So that's crazy. Now, in the Rebirth run, Dolphin is a natural-born Atlantean with the paranatural alterations due to being born sea-changed, which is a magical mutation and occurs in certain Atlanteans due to overexposure to the metaphysical energies that sustain them during Atlantis' fall, causing some water breathers to adopt more traits from fish and other marine biological life forms. Dolphin has all the typical Atlantean augmentations that come with surviving the crushing ocean depths. She possesses minor metamorphic abilities, such as the manifestation of light blue scales, webbed hands, razor-sharp nails, which can draw blood from other Atlanteans. Dolphin's biophysical deviance also enables her to generate natural light from her body, which is potent enough to induce seizures in individuals who look directly into her glare. She can also focus her radiance to give it a more concussive punch on top of increasing her physical melee. Dolphin can also use it to make air drawings to articulate her thoughts and intentions. That's a little overpowered in my opinion, but that's pretty cool nonetheless. Fun facts about Dolphin. Dolphin, also called Delphus at the time, appears in Young Justice. Introduced in the third season, this version is an Indian teen who was kidnapped by Clarion the Witch Boy, who activates her metagene as part of the Light's Project Rutabaga. Before she is eventually saved by the Outsiders, due to her new powers and physiology, leaving her unable to survive outside of water. She's later taken to Atlantis to live with Calder Arm's parents, and in the fourth season, she takes the name Delphus. Okay, now this is a cool fact here. Media reports in 2020 suggested that director James Wan considered adding Dolphin to Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom in response to the fallout from the fractious libel lawsuit between Mera actress Amber Heard and her former partner Johnny Depp. This was speculated as a device to reduce Amber Heard's screen time with a new female lead to balance things out. Actress Jodie Comer was linked with the role, but Wan sought out an Asian actress while Warner Brothers was interested in keeping Chinese and other Asian audience engaged to repeat the preceding film Aquaman's success in that market. That makes sense. You know, they just had her, basically, she was white-haired, so, you know, they could work with Asian. I wouldn't have a problem with that. You know, I think there were other redheads that could have done Mera better than Amber Heard, who was a blonde, but, you know, whatever. All right. So what do you guys think? Pretty good so far, right? Well, let me get into my final thoughts. So Dolphin, as I said earlier, she was a listener request, and I'm so glad they put her on my radar. I've completely forgotten about Dolphin, mainly because she's so obscure. Like, she didn't really have, for a long time, she didn't really have a special outfit, like her costume. It was this girl with, like, jean shorts and a white shirt that was kind of, like, you know, showing midriff. And that was really it. So, it was really forgettable. But what a cool character. But the question remains, what should we do with her? I've got to admit, I love the idea of putting her in the Aquaman movie to take screen time away from Amber Heard. But let's think of something different, just in case. Because I have no idea what's going on with that movie at this point. And there's also the writer and actor strike, so who knows where it's going to go from here, if it goes anywhere at all. I know James Gunn is revamping a lot of things, so Aquaman may not even be on the radar. But anyways, I want to see Dolphin become queen of one of the oceans. I don't know which one, but I'm pretty sure Atlantis is in the Atlantic Ocean, so it shouldn't be there. And we know, geologically speaking, like, if there was an Atlantis, it would be in the Atlantic Ocean. I just don't know in the comics if that's where they had it, or if they had moved it around, or what the realm actually was, you know? So, But here's an idea. In the last series I saw info on, she was fleeing Atlantis and was basically a fugitive. So let's have her flee to the Arctic. It's pretty much like uncharted territory there. But she realizes that she can actually handle the cold easily. Okay, so let's try that. As she explores the Arctic, she gets increasingly angry at Atlantis, claiming that the cold breeds contempt. You know, she's just doing the right thing. She was being segregated against. She was being cast out. So she is holding Atlantis as a whole responsible. But as she explores, she finds a lost tribe of undersea people that are incredibly strong and tough, as they had to adapt to the extreme cold of their environment. You know, it's not just like cold for a little bit, it's always cold there. There's always ice, so there's always this increasing pressure that's there that they have to deal with. So let's find this tribe, okay? They see Dolphin, and for whatever reasons, let's go with the classic comic trope. She looks like a prophesied goddess or something that they've been waiting on. So they've been waiting for her to help them leave the Arctic and take their place as heirs of the ocean. So what if they believed that they were actually heirs to the legendary Atlantis? But this is like ancient, long forgotten about tribe, you know? So she realizes that they are stronger than normal Atlanteans. And then Dolphin comes up with a plan to actually overthrow the kingdom of Atlantis. She goes to each oceanic tribe with her Arctic army and starts conquering them, eliminating the opposition and building up her forces. So she may go from the Arctic, she may make her way to the Indian Ocean and different tribes they have there. You know, just all these different areas. Because, like, in the Aquaman movie, you know, there were all these different kind of tribes, and there was mention of tribes here. So, let's just take, you know, one main kingdom from each ocean, and they're just doing that. You know, so she's going and conquering, and basically building up anyone that would ally against Atlantis. She's getting all those fringe places to build up her army, because she's like, look, they're doing this. When does it come time for them to come to you and start segregating against you and separating you from your families? You know, something like that. Ultimately, this leads to a huge war in the ocean. which takes a lot of normal superheroes out of the picture, because even if they could survive the depths of the ocean, they would be incredibly limited in their power set and ultimately worthless. Like, let's take Superman, for example. He can survive the depths of the ocean. He can go down there. But he's also powered by... He's also, like, solar powered, right? So as he gets down there, what happens when, you know, the sunlight isn't really hitting down there as much, right? You're not getting those UV rays. He's not able to charge. So he's just starting to lose power. And his body is constantly competing with those pressures, those ocean pressures, just weighing down on him. He's going to lose power really quick. He's not going to be as fast. He's not going to be as strong. He's not going to be as tough. And what happens if he actually gets depowered down there? He's in a lot of trouble. He can't do a whole lot to help. You know, so let's do that. So this is going to elevate the whole underwater scene, because some heroes like Garth and villains like Black Manta and King Shark will really have a chance to shine in this. But I'd love to see where Dolphin is actually relatable during this whole thing. Like, she's trying to write a system that she found that was wrong, and she's basically just retaliating to the force that was initially put against her. But on the other hand, she's hurting innocence while she's trying to do what she felt was right, and while she's just kind of being corrupted by that. So where would you stand with this, right? Like, is Dolphin the good guy or the bad guy in this? Is Atlantis corrupt and tyrannical? I'd love to see how this unfolds, because there haven't been many underwater stories, which is, at least in my experience, and I've read comics my whole life, there have been little stories, but they haven't had any impact. I want something to actually have impact on the comics realm, maybe even the movie realm, but definitely like the DC universe, right? I want to see something significant happen to where it's not forgotten about. But what do you think? Let me know. Like I said, you can email me directly at b4itall, so b4itall@yahoo.com. You can also catch me on Twitter and Instagram under Super Deep Dive. You can catch me on YouTube and TikTok under Superhero Deep Dive. Please comment, like, subscribe, share, help me grow the audience. Let's have conversations about this. I'd love to hear your ideas for such an obscure character that can have so much potential to be a major player. But I think that's going to be it for me. I think I'm going to head out. I hope everyone is blessed. I hope everyone is happy. I hope everyone is safe. I hope everyone is smart. But if you're not smart, don't get caught. Everyone be good. I'll see you next time. Bye-bye.